classify the owner of the shop as oppressive or doing something un-Islamic. To open your shop or to eat day and trade is permissible.
So the misconception out there all the time is that the person is oppressive and all that is actually thinking.
Yeah, that is putting sentiments over the rule, that is putting emotion over the rule.
And Islam forbids that. You should actually look at the real thing and not
definitely
logical emotions. And
many a time, a concept, a wrong concept, comes about when emotion goes over the rule, or when sentiments go over the rule, or when we do not want to actually follow the Sharia but follow our whims and desires, or we do not want to follow the Sharia per se and we want to follow some other person, his idea or concept.
So on that point, the Mufti is making the point that some compassion should rule itself. Brother Riyaz, inshallah, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Mufti Sahib, it's a bit off the topic.
Yes.
My brother-in-law is wants to get married, and the girl that he wants to marry, her mother is Muslim, but her father is Hindu.
Right.
Right. And apparently, we're having a bit of problem in the family about it. But she's taken her to the Jamiat, and she has converted, but she still lives with her. They're not married yet. She still lives with her parents, and she's been like keeping Rosa and her mom fast. Also, you know. So he is with us, and he's listening to us at the moment while I'm talking to you. So we just wanted an opinion, you know, how can we handle this, or what do you think of the whole situation? And inshallah, you know.
Can you just explain to me now? Is she still staying with the parents, and one of the parents is Muslim, and one is non-Muslim?
Yeah.
Now, first of all, there is difficulty and problems there. Alhamdulillah, you have taken the problem to Jamiat, and the Jamiat ulama must have advised you by now that let us talk to the first party, the girl's parents, because the girl's mother is Muslim, and if she is living with a non-Muslim, that is sin, that is major sin, that is big problems there, and a person will have to do the conversion there first.
Right,
that is the first advice I will give you.
Right.
That let that the husband, that is the father of the child, become a Muslim.
I think the father has chosen not to, and he's willing, like, for the daughter to convert.
Yes.
But, you know, we must give them a commitment to say that he will marry the daughter.
You see, understand this, that the father who staying with the Muslim woman, that is completely haram. That is completely haram in the eyes of Sharia. That is adultery. I'm sorry to say that, but that is the reality. Now, if he is giving permission, and the girl is fasting, what type of food is she eating? We've got a lot of difficulties surrounding that problem. So I will suggest that you go back to the Jamiat and tell them that, listen, that this is the problem, and the Mufti has advised that we go and look, make an investigation in loco, and try to help that whole family.
Okay. But does it help you there?
She does, but like, you know, the mother does the buying of the food, and the mother,
yes,
you know, the food, and that we did look at that was, you know,
yes,
it was allowed. But advice to him whether he should get involved in a relationship like this.
If the girl is going to become Muslim, and she has become Muslim as you have stated, and he decides to marry her, then he can make a home, provided after marry her that he should stay separate. Because remember, his father-in-law, technically, biologically, father-in-law is not a Muslim. So that will create a lot of difficulties in performing and acting upon the Sharia.
Jazakallah
so
much. Assalamu alaikum. Well, that Mufti had brought about many aspects also, given the fact that we've got this type of mixed families out there in the real world. And it will affect the mood when it comes to the end of Ramadan, when it comes to celebration. It will affect those things as well. Wouldn't you think so, Mufti?
See, at the outset, because the scholar is coming, and although not discussing our celebration, what you are linking it to is correct. That immediately, if we have got out there that if the female is Muslim, or the male is not Muslim, or one of the parties, either of the parties is not Muslim, then you have to come and accept Islam. You have to accept Islam so that the relationship becomes legal, jaiz, permissible, otherwise it is definitely adultery. This concept that the husband can be of one religion and the wife be Muslim, or the husband Muslim and the wife a non-Muslim, and you do what you want and I will do what I want, and we are so-called married by understanding and married due to love and marriage for convenience, this is totally un-Islamic. And when, as you say, with the celebration
of Islam,
one person will be looking towards Mecca and one person will be looking towards the other direction. One person will be going towards the casino and one person will be going towards the masjid. So that is completely in two different routes. It will cause problems, difficulties, and sin will be at its peak.
Brother Riyaz, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Did I hear correctly that the Mufti said it's okay to open your shop on Eid day?
Yes.
Now, the thing is, he said it's not a Christian country, am I correct?
Yes.
But there are a lot of Jews in this country who actually close on their festivals. They close all their businesses, etc., and they actually give their non-Jewish staff off as well. So I just think I disagree with the Mufti in that all brothers should actually close their shops and give their workers time off to spend with their families, because actually it's a joyous occasion. You should spend time with your family. Now, by here, the Mufti is saying that it's okay, all the brothers are going to then open their shops and everybody will have to go to work.
Can I comment on that?
Yes, please, Mufti. The
brother is saying, and he's basing his argument that the Jews and us, we are staying in a non-Muslim country. I agree with that. Secondly, he says that the Jews, they close their shops. Our Shariat is not based upon the actions of the Jews. Our Shariat is not based upon their actions and their opinions and their methods of dealings. The Jews deal in interest. They give and take interest. The Jews have their own celebrations. We don't celebrate like how they celebrate. We do not behave like how they behave. So a Muslim, as I have explained categorically, clearly, that a Muslim has got his own way of life, his own culture, his own civilization, his own mode of dress also. So in that light, we have got our own legal format to follow and conform to and adhere to, which allows us to open our shops.
On that point, Riaz, I think what we're trying to endorse here is that as Muslims, you must show compassion and move by compassion as well. Does it help you, Riaz?
Yeah, you should show compassion and give off to spend time with their families, because it's a joyous occasion. You want to spend time with your families. But I think that the Mufti, what he's saying, a lot of people will misunderstand it, and they'll think that it's okay to open your shops, and if the staff went off, because I know the instance where an employer said, if you go off on Easter, you'll get fired.
You see, that is going to the extreme, Riaz. I am stating the law. I am stating that it is permissible. And if you have heard me previously, I have stated clearly that we should try, if you were to open your shop, open it partially. This is advice I'm giving. I cannot say as a Mufti, this is the rule. I'm not passing a fatwa. The fatwa is you can open your shop.
Okay.
The compassion will be that you say half your staff, you don't come this Eid, but you will come Eid al-Adha. And the better compassion will be that it shall let us close our shop.
Right.
Thanks a lot, Riaz. Assalamu alaikum. We have a teenager on the line, a sister. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. I want to know, can Muslim businessmen deal with firecrackers selling and buying it?
Okay. In fact, we had these two questions online. Mufti, the issue of fireworks and Eid cards, can Muslim salespersons or shop owners sell them?
So one is that he sells those things. There is some room for permissibility. And one is that you go and buy it and utilize it. Remember that to buy it and to utilize, for example, Eid cards and send it, we have written this clearly in one of our kitabs, Kitab al-Sawm, and discussed it, that this is not conducive to the behavior of a Muslim. Because, first of all, that it is extravagancy, lavishness, a wastage of money, tashabbu bil kufar, imitating of the kufar, and it is not a method of celebration for us. As far as the fireworks is concerned, that we should not blow up our money and waste our money. But a person, they are ulama who say that it is permissible to sell it, and the majority of the ulama are of the opinion also that we should not sell it. So if a person sells it, then there is some room for permissibility.
Mufti, at this point in time, we've covered a range of issues, you know, ranging from the rape culture where people, where students, people will be going to these issues. And I mean, as we discussed in the rape culture show the last time, that, you know, people and countries are going to at length to prepare themselves, you know, for this rape celebration, and that itself is wrong. So coming and putting everything, you know, into perspective now, an anonymous sister has given us a written question coming in. And she asks Mufti, what is your comment regarding the Voice radio station organizing a Zikr gathering to celebrate the millennium?
You see, this question, although the sister has asked about the Voice, I will make one rule here, and state one rule, a principle, if you understand. And we should try to make an effort to understand the principle. That a sin is a sin, irrespective of who commits it. Because a layman commits a sin, this sin remains a sin. And if that same sin, for example, a Maulana or a Mufti or an Alim commits it, this sin does not become holy. This sin does not become a holy sin. The sin remains a sin. In fact, it will become worse when some person of knowledge or piety or righteousness commits that sin. So the sin does not become holy, it becomes worse. Irrespective of whether it be the Voice or whether it be Radio Islam or whether it be Mufti Elias, that if we have to organize a function and if we decide to say we would have a millennium bash and Radio Islam decides we would have one millennium bash, then irrespective of whether it's Radio Islam having the millennium bash, whether it is the Voice or whether it is Mufti Elias, it is a sin, it is wrong. Why? If in that bash there is going to be music, there's going to be intermingling of sexes, and there is going to be possibility of illicit relationship taking place, and there is going to be specification of some devotional activity taking place which is not specified in the eyes of Sharia, in the light of Sharia, irrespective of who does this action will remain true. So,
Absolutely. That,
again, I will reiterate that the sin remains a sin, whether it is committed by Radio Islam, Voice, or Mufti Elias, or anybody.
So Mufti, at this point in time, we understand that last year we had an issue at various places in our locality, in Johannesburg, in Lanesia, in Mayfair, wherever it was, where people congregated to play music and sort of celebrate this, you know, the New Year last year. Do you think this year with Ramadan in its height, do you think people are going to maintain their dignity and promote and reflect Islam? Before we just round up with the last few questions.
See, concerning what they are going to do out there, I cannot say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
Ameen.
But now, alhamdulillah, with the radio station, with the various posters from the Darul Ulooms and the Jamiat, and the various lectures given in the masajid by the ulama who travel far and wide to the places and to the masajid, and every Sunday after Zohar who are lecturing and who are spending their time with the public, explaining to the public that, listen, these activities which are going to take place in the millennium, especially on that day, should be avoided, we should abstain from it, refrain from it, then inshallah we should be having a positive result. And you out there can help us, can help yourselves firstly by staying away from the sin yourself and maintaining your family to stay away from that sin. And also you should propagate to your friends, your relatives, that these areas where the sin takes place, for example, the areas in Lanesia, in Mayfair, in Zoo Lake, all those areas, they are noted now, have become notorious. So you should encourage yourself, your families, and your relatives, and your friends, that listen, we should not be found in those areas where sin is committed flagrantly, openly, and done disgustingly. Sin is a sin, but to do it openly worsens the activity.
Okay, at this point in time, I would like to remind the listeners out there that you're running up the show and also circulating around many areas in Gauteng and Greater Gauteng are 535 questionnaires regarding the youth and the mindset that we want to find out. Please answer those questions and post or give it to the responsible people in the area so that we can start having a more fine understanding of the mindset of the youth and given the millennium as well. Mufti, we have a final question which came from my sister again, and she says about celebrations as well. we mentioned a lot of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam following his example, and she says, look, it might be off topic, but we follow the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Islam goes. Therefore, why do Muslims have to resort to following the four different imams, as there are many differentiated, there are many differences rather in the four madhabs, and then obviously we can link it to the issue of celebration as well, inshallah.
But this is the masala of taqleed. Taqleed meaning conformity to one of the four imams. And we specify it, we call it taqleed al-shafsi, that specific following of one of the four imams. In our age, it is wajib, compulsory for an individual, for a Muslim, to adhere to and conform to the interpretation provided by one of the four great imams of jurisprudence. Now these imams of jurisprudence, the four great imams, namely Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, they did not form any new religion or new shariat or new deen. They are the expert authoritative interpreters of deen. They have understood the Quran and the hadith and the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and compiled and formulated and codified the deen of Islam for us to follow. By their presence and research, they have made it easy upon us to follow the deen of Islam. So we quote Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the interpretations of the imams, because they understood the deen better than us. They were closer to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this topic of taqleed, inshallah, we will host one day and field the questions pertaining directly to taqleed. But remember that by following any imam, Imam Abu Hanifa or Shafi, Malik or Hanbali, there is no kufr, shirk or bidah involved. It is absolutely within the confines of Shariat. In fact, it is wajib, compulsory to conform to one of the four imams.
Mufti, we'd like to wrap up now. And just to ask a last question, is that what would be the ruling if a brother or sister did already say to another non-Muslim a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year? What does that reflect? Is it good? Is it right?
As far as, remember, all these non-Islamic and non-Muslim greetings, in principle, we must greet like Muslims. As I stressed at the beginning, we have got our own culture, our own civilization, our own method of praying, our own method of behaving. We are totally independent because we have got a complete, easy, perfect Shariat to follow. To wish someone Merry Christmas is tantamount to expressing one's happiness upon the person's batin false religious custom. Indeed, no Muslim will wish any person happy worshipping the cross or happy bowing down to the idols. Similarly, one must totally refrain from wishing anyone Merry Christmas. In fact, it is worse and more severe than saying to a person who is drinking alcohol, have a nice drink. Just as the latter is totally haram, as it is an encouragement towards committing that sin. To wish someone Merry Christmas is worse, as it is you're telling the person you are happy upon a belief system which includes shirk and kufr, disbelief, polytheism. Likewise, a Muslim businessman should not advise Christmas specials to have Christmas sales. By all means, they have many sales and maximize their turnovers. However, it should not be associated with Christmas, etc. So we get from this that we should not be utilizing the vocabulary of them, because they have got connotations attached to it, belief attached to it, and you can wish a non-Muslim good health, prosperity, and also pray for his hidayat, his guidance, etc. But you cannot be in happiness, or you cannot be in union with his disbelief.
So, Mufti, then, to bring the whole show to a close, alhamdulillah, we have discussed many issues, and just to sum up, the celebration must actually, for a Muslim, turn to devotion. And celebration itself should not lend to batil and fitna.
Exactly.
And alhamdulillah, Mawlana can then Mufti can provide the final comment here. We'd like to thank the listeners for phoning in for the comments. And inshallah, we hope that you understand this year round that we should take greater care in the time of Sitna and Fasad. Mufti, your final point, and inshallah we close with the dua.
Remember that Islam is encouraging us that we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we spend in His path. And the system of the kuffar and the non-Muslim is that he must earn money and he must play all the time and amusement. And there are enough Quranic ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clearly stating that this world has not been created for amusement and play and sport. And this world has not been created in futility or has not been created in vanity or for vainful activities. So a Muslim is a person who is governed by concrete set of beliefs and practices. And he must please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we look at Hajj is an ibadah, a devotion. And at the end of it, we make sacrifice. We make qurbani, and the qurbani meat, it is mustahab that you give it to the poor, one third to your relatives, etc. Why? Because this joyous occasion is to feed the other people. Now, when we come to Ramadan, most of the brothers calculate their zakah, and they give it out to the poor, the needy, the destitute, the wayfarer, and the one striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the Sharia is encouraging us, on one side, please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by praying, on the other side, enjoy. You must spend your joyous occasion by helping others and making more salat, reading more zikr, reading more durood sharif upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and aiding and helping others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to understand that we have got our own system of life to follow and conform to.
JazakAllah khair, Mufti, for that insightful input, and may inshallah all the listeners take heed. And we conclude this show inshallah with a dua by Mufti. Assalamu alaikum.
Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina.
That for a mu'min, there are two moments of joy. One, at the time of iftar, and two, at the time of meeting his Rabb. Given that the topic is celebrating and celebrations, the hadith puts us into the framework that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon a Muslim joy as well. And given that celebrating and celebration is about joy, for a Muslim, it is not one to promote fitna. As we will show later in the program, that the celebrations of the century and the way of the kuffar is to promote fitna. We start now with a question, inshallah. Providing an answer, then we will set the whole program into motion. Whenever there was a question that came to me and it was answered, it says, what is the position of celebrating New Year's Day?
To make ibadat on the odd nights, especially in the last 10 nights of Laylatul Qadr. Grant us respect of deen, respect of Quran. Ya Allah, all those who have gone for Umrah, Ya Allah, there are so many South Africans which are gone. Ya Allah, grant them ability to change their lives, and when they come back, so the masajid are full. Ya Allah, whatever deeni activity is taking place, in whatever form it is, Ya Allah, you cause it barakat, and you cause it to blossom. Ya Allah, accept our dua through the wasila of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, we ask of whatever Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for, and we ask to abstain from whatever Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked us to abstain from. Ya Allah, accept our dua through the wasila of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam, tabarak ya zil jalal wal ikram, sami'na wa atwana wa fa'anika rabbana wa ilayka al-masir, bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.